every mountain God has brought us over. For every valley God has seen us through. We give God praise this morning. If you will, amen. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as you're able to stand and reach out and join that neighbor's hand on your left and on your right and be so kind to tell them, I'm glad I sat by you. Yes. And then look back at them and say, God's been looking out for me. Yes, Lord. God, we thank you for this fresh new day. We thank you for new energy. We thank you for the sweet scintillating sunshine that greeted us early this morning. For all of your acts of kindness and mercy towards us, we say thank you. And now, God, in the stillness of this sacred preaching moment, would you interrupt the regular program schedule and have your way in this place? God, we've heard from CNN, we've heard from Instagram, we've heard from Facebook, MSNBC, and Twitter. But now, God, we want to know what you have to say about it. So speak in this place and have thine own way. You are the potter, we are the clay. Touch our neighbors now, God. Do whatever they need you to do in their lives for your glory and for their good. And we seal this prayer in the name of the one who is still able to turn water into wine. In the name of Jesus, we seal this. And may all God's people say, it is so. And amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. What a blessing it is to be here today. I'm excited to have this opportunity to come. I've shared with the other services. I am an Alfred Street YouTube member, and I feel good to be at home today. Amen. And then what about the inimitable pastor of this house, one of our nation's greatest pastors and preachers anywhere on this side of heaven? Let's celebrate God for Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley. Amen. We celebrate God for him. And a couple people I just want to give a quick thank you to. This choir has been blessing us all day long. Can y'all help me show some love to this choir? God bless you all. Thank you all for setting the atmosphere. To God be the glory. And to whomever prepared breakfast this morning in the back, God was all in the grits. And I mean, my soul is just so refreshed. And I'm grateful. And to my brother, Reverend Elijah McDavid, and to all the clergy and leaders of this great church, it's a blessing to be here. My wife is with me today. Y'all say, hey, Miss Bree. She's here today, and she was asleep at the first service, but the Lord has brought a wonderful change. And she's awake now. Come with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. There is a unique word that God has given me. I won't be long, I pray. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. I'm excited to just download what God has given me to share with you this morning. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, out of the New Revised Standard Version, reads like this. I am about to do a new thing. Thank you. You may be seated. I am about to do a new thing. I want to label this little line with this thought very simply. It's a new day. It's a new day. And I hope you like who you sit by. If you don't like them, that's your fault, because you sure did sit down beside them. Smile at them with a real, sincere, genuine smile and tell that neighbor, it's a brand new day. It's a new day. God says, I'm about to do a new thing. One of my favorite preachers, Pastor Tolan Morgan, shares the story about a man who was trying to escape the hustle and bustle of everyday life. So he decided to take a trip, an excursion to the Swiss Alps, the snow-capped mountains in the Swiss Alps. He wanted to get away from the mundane routine of life, and he took a trip to the snow-capped mountains in the Swiss Alps. He arrived on a Friday evening, and on Saturday morning, he was awakened by what felt like an earthquake. It was as if the entire mountain on the resort where he was staying was shaking and out of control. He didn't know what to do. He was filled with angst and anxiety because he was almost shaken, literally out of his bed. He goes downstairs to the front lobby and he asks the man behind the desk, "Can you please help me understand what's going on? This is my first time staying on a resort, a hotel on this mountain, and it feels like it's an earthquake. I pray it's not a volcano. I wasn't alerted that this was a volcanic mountain. What's happening this morning?" And the man calmly behind the front desk began to laugh and he said, "Sir, all that's happening is the sun began to rise this morning. And the heat from the sun melts the snow on the top of the mountain. When the snow melts on the top of the mountain, the ice is so heavy that as the sun gets warmer and hotter, the ice melts and it hits the side of the mountain. It avalanches down the side of the mountain, and the weight of the snow and the ice hits the mountain with such force that it gives you the illusion or the sensation that you're experiencing an earthquake." He said, "So personally, sir, you can go back to bed and take a chill pill, because I know it feels like your life is in danger, but what you're really feeling is the arrival of a brand new day. The shaking that you feel may be unsettling, but the shaking is just proof that a new day is on the horizon. And brothers and sisters, I don't know who this word is for today, but maybe for some of you, life has been unsettling. Maybe for some of you, you feel like life is shaking and you've lost your equilibrium. Well, I believe God let me make it safely all the way from the ATL to tell somebody, don't misinterpret your season. Don't misunderstand this moment. It is not that your life is coming to an end. It may be that God is getting ready to give you a brand new day. Maybe the reason why things are so unsettled right now, maybe you feel so uncomfortable and so uneasy right now, is because God is trying to push you into a brand new season, trying to push you into a brand new consciousness, trying to push you into an area that you've never existed in before, trying to take you to another level, take you to a deeper dimension that you've never seen before. And if it is causing you to feel like life is shaking you, calm down, take a chill pill. I've come to tell you that the only thing that is happening is you're experiencing the arrival of a brand new day. And I understand why some of you all are saying, "I'm not that excited about brand new days," because if we be honest, people don't like new things. Even babies with mess on them don't like to be changed. People don't like change. People don't like new things, because new things make you uncomfortable. New things get you out of your routine. New things make spoiled people uncomfortable and uneasy. It creates some dissonance. It makes you have to try harder. It makes you have to rethink. It makes you have to relearn and reimagine and refigure and redo. It makes you trust God more. I said it makes you have to trust God more. I said it makes you have to trust God more. You don't need God when you know the terrain, when you know where you're going, but when God starts taking you to a new place or a new job or a new season or a new relationship, it makes you have to trust God more. It requires new faith. It requires new focus. It requires new friends. It requires new prayers. It requires new circles. Maybe life will be easy for you when you get some squares out your circle. Yeah, it requires some new fasting and new silence and new worship. When God is doing something new, you can't remain the same. Your life has to be open to the new possibility. Who am I talking to this morning? Maybe you're on the edge of God doing something new, and all God is trying to tell you is, trust me with this new season, because if I bring you to this new season, I have a purpose, a plan, and some promises that are going to go along with this new day. Now, if you're cool like everything is, this is not your sermon. If you're fine with the way life is, I'm not even preaching to you today. But if you know you serve a big God who is too big to be little, who is too grand to be small, who is so omniscient and omnipresent and all-knowing and sovereign and matchless. You ought to be giving God glory just because you have a God who is able to do a new thing. Is that Bible? Yes, it is. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that working in you. Isn't it good news that in this text today, God is talking to a people who have been caught and captured in Babylonian slavery? They're in Babylonian exile. But whenever you tiptoe through the pages of the book of Isaiah, it is safe to understand that really some scholars say that the book is split up into three sections. You have first Isaiah, that's Isaiah's chapters 1 through 39. Then you have second Isaiah or Deutero Isaiah, that's chapters 40 through 54. Then you have third Isaiah or Treto Isaiah, that's chapters 55 through 66. Isn't it good news though that today we are smack dab in the middle of second Isaiah or Deutero Isaiah? And the good news about that is God sends a message of comfort to people who are stuck in a season that they can't get themselves out of. And I can sum up 2nd Isaiah or Deutero Isaiah in one little sentence. God says, it's not going to always be like this. Now, that word means nothing for you if you're on the mountaintop right now. But if you've slipped down into the slippery slopes of the valley, if you've dealt with some darkness, if you've had to meander and maneuver your way through the madness and chaotic existences of life, then that word does everything for you, because it's not gonna always be like this. God says, I'm about to do a new thing. I know you're still in captivity, but I'm getting ready to do something new. I'm about to take you somewhere you've never been before, show you something you've never seen before, do something I've never done before, reveal something I've never revealed before. I'm about to do a new thing. And I knew I was coming to one of the most prominent pulpits, so I texted Isaiah last night and I asked Isaiah, can you tell me what to look out for when God wants to birth a new day in our lives? And y'all may think I'm crazy, but Isaiah sent me back a text message. And he wants me to share with you the text message about what happens when you are on the periphery and the edge of a brand new day. Do you want to know or no? Does anybody want to know today what happens when God gets ready to do something new? Number one, here's what's going to happen. God energizes us with the past. I said God energizes us with the past. Where is this at, preachers? Right there. I read verse 19, but if you moonwalk backwards to verse 15, 16, 17, 18, this is what it reads. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse and armor and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. But then verse 18, he says, do not remember the former things and do not consider the things of old. Wait a minute, God. From verse 15 through 17, you are reminding the children of Israel of what you did in the book of Exodus. When it talks about you making a way out of the sea. What sea? The Red Sea. You made a path through the mighty waters. What waters? The Red Sea. You brought out the chariot and the horse. You extinguished the armor and the warrior. He's talking about the Egyptians, the way the Israelites made it through the sea. But the same waters became the grave of those who were chasing God's people. He's reminding them of something he's already done. But then he says, but don't remember the former things of old. Consider not the things I've already done. Which one, God? You brought it up. Which one? Do you want us to remember or do you not want us to? Why would you bring it up if you say don't remember the former things? And God told me, preacher, you've gone to too many schools. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. What I was trying to do was get them to reflect on what I've already done, but I don't want them to restrict me based off of what I've already done. Yes, I did make a way out the Red Sea, but I am not through blessing them. I have done some awesome things, but there's so many more awesome things that I want to do. God says, I want to energize you with what I've already done, but I don't want you to limit me based off of what I've already done. And somebody around Alpher Street at the 9:30 service can get happy all by yourself looking over your life at all of the things God has already done. Matter of fact, you don't need a new reason to praise God this morning. You can just pull out something old and say, God, thank you for healing me last year. Thank you for stabilizing my family last month. Thank you for strength you gave me when I lost my job. Thank you for restoring my joy and keeping me in perfect peace. Is there anybody around this house who can say, God, this praise is because you've already been better to me than I've been to myself? And that's why you've got to forgive me when I come to church, because I'm energized. Yeah, I just feel something down in my feet. It's hard to be still. I feel like Miss Johnson, the way she directs the choir. That's how I feel like when I get up to preach. I try to be sedated. I try to be calm. I try to be cool. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's already done, you can sit there as still as you want to, but let the redeemed of the Lord, if he paid a bill, say so. If he healed you, say so. If he brought you out the valley, say so. You ought to be energized based off of what God has already done. He's taken you to a new day. He energizes you with the past. But then it gets even gooder, as my grandma would say, because God is about to authorize new possibilities. Verse 19 says, I am about to do a new thing. I didn't ask for you to agree with it. I'm about to do a new thing. I said, God authorizes the new possibility. The text says, I am about to do a new thing. I don't need you to call a meeting or a church conference. I'm about to do a new thing. Your family may not like it or understand it, but I'm about to do a new thing. Who do you think you are to call a conference call with God based off of what God is about to do next in your life? God looks over the balcony of eternity and says, can I ask you a few questions? Where were you on the morning I decided to put the sun on day shift and the moon on night shift and they've never missed a day of work? Where were you in the afternoon when the Trinity got together and decided to make water wet and sand dry? Where were you when I sprung the stars up and every night they come across the black carpet of the midnight sky like debutantes on their way to their coronation party? Where were you on the morning I made grass green, skies blue, water wet, and cement gray? Where were you on the morning I gave the butterfly its migration trail? Where were you on the morning that I gave the kangaroo his hop, the lion his roar, the cat its meow, the dog his bark, and the roach his run? Where were you? And if you weren't with me when I did all of that, I don't need you to be in conversation with me when I get ready to do something new and beautiful and mind-blowing in your life. Stop waiting on people to co-sign what God has already designed. God says, I am about to do a new thing. And if you keep reading verse 19, it messes me up because it says, now it springs forth. Can't you see it? Wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You said you are about to do something new, and then you come back and say, now it springs forth. Can't you see it? That's like somebody texting you saying, I'm on my way, I'm outside. Which one? Are you on your way, or are you outside? That's like your aunt or uncle texting you, he's talking about, the food is ready, I'm almost done. Wait a minute. Is the food ready? Or is it almost done? But when it comes to God, God is the only one who's done before he gets started. That's why you don't wait until the battle is over to give God praise. When God tells you God's going to do something, you shout right then, because it's coming and it's already here. Your new day is coming and it's already here. Your blessing is coming and it's already here. Somebody around Alfred Street, take 10 seconds and praise God for what's coming and for what's already here. Look around you. Look how blessed you already are. If he never does another thing, he's already done more. Look at somebody and say, it's coming and it's already here. Yeah, you can thank God for the new job before you get it, because it's already here. Thank God for the new boo, because it's already here. Thank God for the new promotion, because it's coming and it's here. God says, I'm about to escort you into a brand new day. I'm going to energize you with the past. I'm going to authorize new possibilities. But then thirdly, God starts showing out. God says, I'm going to organize the new plan. What you mean you're going to organize it, God? God says, no, keep reading verse 19. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Can I tell you a secret? It is not your responsibility to strategize your survival in this season. You're losing sleep over your future. And it's not your job to strategize your survival. God says, let me organize the new plan. God says, I feel like preaching. God says, I will make a way. I'm going to put rivers in deserts. Now, in Exodus, I moved water out your way so you could get through. But in this season, I'm going to put some water in your way so you can survive in places that were not designed for you to thrive. Who in here can testify? God will give you power to live and survive places that people never expected you to make it in. And it's all because God will make a way. Oh, I know I'm in a room full of people who know a little something about making a way. Oh, when they threw us the scraps off of a pig, they thought they were throwing us trash, but we were co-creators with the divine. You can throw us scraps. We're going to put it together and call it a delicate southern cuisine. It's chitlins, baby. You can hand us the bottom of a ketchup bottle, and when we didn't have enough money to go to Piggly Wiggly or Kroger or Walmart or Harris Teeter or Whole Foods, we'd take that little bit of ketchup over to the sink, put a little water in it, shake it up, and put it on our hot dog. It's called making a way. Somebody in this house can testify you're alive right now because your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, your father, your auntie Nim, Uncle Nim knew how to make a way. And I'm here to testify God is such a great and gracious God that you don't have to struggle about where to go next. God says, I love you enough that I will make a way out of no way. Can I testify? Can I testify? When I got out of high school, one of my counselors looked at me and said, Reginald, you are a big fish in a small pond. But when you get to Morehouse, this is what she told me, you're going to be a little fish in a big pond. And you know, those words really haunted me because it messed with my mentality. Teachers and counselors, be careful what you tell these students, because your words can either be toxicity or they could be life-giving. And she spoke those words over me and said, here I am walking in Morehouse like a little fish. And it did. It looked big. It was intimidating. Classwork, chemistry, biology, English. Help me, Jesus. How was I supposed to survive in all this? But can I fast forward and tell you a little secret? I graduated in 4 years. My mother and my father both lost their job while I was there. But God made a way. I graduated in 4 years. And then this summer, I got a call. Can you come back and teach in the same department that you graduated out of? And now I am an adjunct professor in the Department of Religion at Morehouse. Before you clap too soon, I wish I could call the counselor back and say, ma'am, I don't know if I'm a big fish or a little fish, but I know I'm swimming because I serve a God who will make a way out of no. Somebody around Alpha Street ought to help the preacher as I go to my seat and give God praise for all the ways that God has made, for all the doors that God has opened, for all the seas God has moved out of your life. And if I was down in Georgia, I would say, shake your neighbor's hand and shake it like you're gonna shake it off and tell them God will make a way. If they didn't touch you, shake your own hand and say, God will make a way. So be not dismayed. Whatever betides you, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will. Somebody give God a quick praise just because your new day is coming and is already here.